Punyadadhamadhava Punyavihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihadi Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadadi Gopi Dana Vallabha Giri Varadadi Yasoda nandana braja janadandana Yasoda nandana braja janadandana Yamuna tira vana chari Yamuna tira vana chari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihadi Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihadi
I have to find the raga. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada Jaya Radha Muli Dada Radha Muli Dada Radha Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Gau Premanandi, Hare Hare Bo.
Haribo, when we sing like this, we feel something is opening in our hearts, and we want to continue traveling on that road and go deeper. And we just had an event in New York, a 12-hour kirtan event, which I heard was phenomenal, and many wonderful things happened on that event when the doors opened, the doors of the heart opened. Many amazing things happened. Amongst one of the things which happened was that one person spontaneously decided to give a donation of $50,000 for the Kumbh Mela to what is it, 12,000 and 2012, taste the nectar. he felt it's the time to facilitate this. And I sincerely want to invite all of you. Tomorrow is an occasion, another occasion, to open the door and chant longer. There will be a program in the Yoga Maya Yoga studio, and those who are interested to come can ask, I think, at the book table for the address, or Yagya Purusha will, Prabhu will tell us the address. I think this feeling of something opens in our heart, and we feel if we could just pursue going deeper through that opening and further into our heart, we might discover a great pleasure, the pleasure, or the great treasure, I wanted to say, of really deep blissfulness, deep ecstasy. So I will talk about this inner space today, and I think it will be important for you to listen carefully, because I will also give some practical tools how to access that inner space. So let me first say the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Vrajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Vaskaryare Zadarine Sri Krishna Jaitana Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It was 15 years ago where, by the mercy of my spiritual master, I made a discovery which was at first totally unexpected and maybe surprising. And I think I should relate this discovery to you, because I feel we are here in the temple and we are in a way all on the spiritual search. And in this way, maybe brothers and sisters, and no secrets are required in that circle. I had made a decision to go on pilgrimage. A pilgrimage which would bring me into unknown territory, that is deep into the Himalayas. I had the idea that I would, on this pilgrimage, take all these things which were unwanted in my life. I'm thinking of certain attachments and certain troubles, and put them under stone, so to say. I had a notebook and I had written down what I wanted to get rid of, and I put it under the stones. And like this I made my pilgrimage. There is a book which is soon coming on the English market. It's called The Way of the Great Departure, where this is described in a little bit detail. I remember then when I thought I had gotten rid of being disturbed with particular difficult relationships, because I had written it down and put it under stone, all this disturbance came up again, because in our traveling party trouble was brewing. There was a Swiss internist, that was a Swiss surgeon. There was an Italian free thinker. There was someone else, yes, an Indian organizer. You all know what this means, Indian and organizer. Now it goes well together. Now the Indian, India and, you know, for instance, Indians' definition of punctuality is the word flexible time. So you can understand the Indian organizer. Nothing worked out, in other words. Swiss surgeon, Italian freethinker, one person, he was a devotee, Janat Yaksha, a very intelligent person, and in the midst of it, me and there was trouble, discontent in the jeep. We were for 2 weeks in a jeep, and it was an adventurous tour. We almost lost our Swiss surgeon when he took a bath and on a hill, and it was slippery, and he slipped out, and he actually fell down an abyss, and he was caught by a yogi who used his mystical yoga flying ability. It was really wild. So at the end, when we reached Gangotri, there was a tension in the air. The group was the Italian person, means very temperamental, was always calling out "Mamma mia, Mamma mia," and the Swiss surgeon was really on his knees praying every night to Mother Maria to save him from this travel adventure, and it was really intense. So I also I just had made a vow to give up being disturbed in relationships, but it was getting on my case. And on that one day when we had arrived in Gangotri, a town at the bank of Mother Ganga, it's actually quite high. I think the altitude is 4,600 meters. And I remember I had a very uneasy sleep because I had to spend 2 hours in a group discussion where the members discussed their conflicts with each other, and I had to be the mediator. So I had a terrible night, but then in the morning I was discovering something which I want to share today with you. I went to the bank of the Ganga, and then I went on my own over the rocks, up the Ganga, and sat down to chant my japa. And then I prayed to Mother Ganga, I remember. I said, may your cooling waves take the conflict out of the heart of the people in my group, and may you please also cool down my own uneasiness, being always in a tensed group. So I remember praying this. I remember all of a sudden that there was a moment when it felt really as if a door was opening, and I came into another space or another level of consciousness. And there, my dear devotees and dear friends, I could see something which has never ever left me since. It was a clear vision of Ganga, such a clear vision which spoke of eternity, the eternity of the soul. Everything is all right. And for a moment, I seemed to glimpse into the eternal spiritual reality, which is often covered for us by a curtain of Maya, a curtain of illusion. And I remember I really felt like entering into a sacred area, almost as if you leave the troubled streets of the world to enter a good church, where you can find a good sitting place, sit down, and all of a sudden be open to a communication with God. That I felt, and I always tried afterwards to find the door to the sacred space in my heart. where I could see everything of the spiritual reality. So many years passed, I always tried to find that room again. I always try to find that door again. And then there were certain occasions where, even without my looking for the room, I was all of a sudden in that sacred space again. It was almost like I was running through a convent which has many rooms of the monks, and there was one room for me, but I had forgotten what was the number. Was it 351 or was it 502 or what was it? Over the times, I must say, knowledge has come to me and skills have come to me where I don't forget what is the number of that sacred space and where the door is and how it is opening. And I would like to share as much as I can share in a program like this with all of you this evening. And I do hope to give something to you which is of value. And I have noted that life in New York is New Yorkish. What I mean with this word is it's very fast. So many things happen. Most of us are very, very, very much overwhelmed by the demands which life put on us. I have seen also in this town, New York, many people walking over the street and talking to themselves. I've never seen that anywhere in the world. For me, this is a sign that just so much is happening that they can't digest it. They have to talk it off their chest, even if there is no one except the pigeons who listen to them. It's a town where in one day you can experience what you experience when you live on the countryside in one lifetime. It's very fast paced and many of us are in that fast tempo. Like when I come to also our New York temple here, the brahmacharis go jump, 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 jump past me. It's a very fast life, even in the temple, except for the times when we do worship, prayer, and meditation. Then it's still. So many people nowadays in New York, I could say in the Western world, which is speeding up so much, are looking for that space in their life where they can find rest, where they can be energized, where they feel almost cradled and comforted, and where they get in touch with themselves on a deeper level. So as I said, I always looked for that room, and not long ago I found an ancient scripture where this room is described. It's the Chandogya Upanishad. And I was at the house of my friend, a Sanskrit professor, who translated this from the Sanskrit to me. And today I want to share this ancient wisdom about the sacred space from the Chandogya Upanishad with you. The Chandogya Upanishad says that this body is compared to be with a town, like New York. The body, or the town of the body, has seven gates, two eyes. Gates means, like in the medieval concept of a town, there was a boundary wall around the town, and then there were different gates through which the incoming the farmers would bring their grains, and there were also you had to go through the gate to get out of the town and make maybe a trade journey or visit another town. So we also, according to the Chandogya Upanishad, live in the town of our body, which has seven gates through which traffic comes in and goes out. Two eyes, I can see now, Ganeshyam and his new foot. It's a sense impression. I can see all of you. Then two ears, that makes four gates. I can hear. I heard Hari Prasad's extremely loud and devotional voice just singing here. And Achyuta Gopi is also very much hearable from even from a long-range voice. So four gates. Then two nostrils makes six gates. One mouth makes the seventh gate. Oh, I was a polite German. There, it's actually this town of the body has nine gates. But two gates lie underneath the belt, and therefore I did not mention them. So we all live in this town with nine gates, and it is said in the Chandogya Upanishad, inside this town is a most valuable house, which is the heart. And again, inside that heart is a space which is called in the Upanishad Dahara Akash, a small room which at the same time has unlimited space so that all the worlds and all the gods of the worlds fit into this space. So it's small but at the same time big. In this room resides the eternal soul and God, just next to it. Misery and death cannot come into this room. And then the Upanishad says, one who finds his way into this room is no longer a slave to unreal desires. In other words, there is this room, let us call it this space, this inner space or sacred space where God resides and you, the eternal reside, soul resides. And one who has found his way into this room cannot be disturbed by any miseries. I remember when I sat at the bank of the Ganga and all of a sudden had that feeling that I came into this space, I forgot all about the troublesome relationships which had upset me only 5 minutes before this experience, so much so that I thought we have to cancel this journey, we have to send everyone home, let the temperamental Italian say Mamma Mia in Roma and the Swiss surgeon do his surgery in Zurich, but this can't go on like this, so much conflict in a small jeep on very, very shaky roads, you know. No, but I now experienced, I was in this room, and this tension which was before agitating me was totally gone. And I noticed, as I was in this room, I have nothing else to desire. I found it. I found what my heart really desires. I do not need anything more. The Chandogya Upanishad explains, and this I found extremely, extremely valuable. If someone has found this room, if he puts a sankalpa into his mind, that means an intention, I want to achieve that, or I will do this, he will be able to attain everything. In other words, when you are in this room, you seem to be empowered so that your intentions, your sankalpas, will see the fruition of their contents. I see my spiritual master as such a personality when he was in New York, your own New York, he sat on the bench in Central Park one day, and one man sat next to him and tried to begin a conversation with Srila Prabhupada. He asked first innocently, "Are you from India?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes." "What do you do in America?" "Oh, I have temples and farms and many books and a temple called the Bhakti Center." And then the man said, "Can I see these farms and books and temples?" And Prabhupada said, "Not yet. Only a little time is separating." In other words, he had an intention to have all this, what now forms the visible face of the Hare Krishna movement. Temples, farms, books, and so on and so forth. What someone who found this inner space puts into his mind will see fruition. Then it's the Chandogya Upanishad tells us very candidly and poignantly that every one of us has an unconscious experience of this space. The Upanishad says ordinary persons find this room only when they have entered a dreamless sleep. Now please think about this. Whenever you do, you sometimes have this, you wake up from a deep sleep, a sleep where you didn't have dreams. It was just a really deep sleep, and you feel so blissful. Do you know this experience? You feel like, wow, no problems anymore, no Mamma Mia's any longer. You feel you can take on the world. No, Ganesha? then you must have dreamful sleeps. I mean, I always have dreamless sleeps. I wake up and everyone who sees me, I tell them a wonderful good morning. I came, you know, I'm staying at a apartment house. Right in the sky, I'm in a skyscraper, in an apartment in a skyscraper, and then I come down and I greet the portiers who are all grumpy for spending the night. I mean, I'm so blissful, I'm calling a wonderful good morning. They look at me as if I have had just offended them, you know. But then they see I'm real. I'm not. Don't want to get on the nerves. I just wish well for them, and they smile and say, "Sir, you look very happy." So ordinary persons come to this in a dreamless sleep. That it is described in Shastra that they meet God in the heart, but because they are not conscious of Him, they don't worship Him, they don't remember anything. What happens to them is that they go into the effulgence of the Paramatma. It's a little technical language, no need to understand it. Effulgence of God, and then they are bathed in that effulgence, and they are feeling extremely happy. But see, the idea of sacred space is not that you stumble into it in an unconscious way, in a dreamless sleep, but that you enter into it consciously, fully awake and fully alert, to discover your real desires, not your unreal desires, which are pronounced to you by your mind and ego, which rules your life sometimes, but you discover your real desires, you focus your intention on this desire, and then, hogya, it's done. There is a Nordic philosopher from the land of my mother. My mother's family comes from Denmark, and this he's also this philosopher of whom I want to read to you is a certain Kierkegaard. That's how this Danish people say it, Kierkegaard. The English people would say it, Søren Kierkegaard. Something like this. He has written about the sacred space like this. It's a little philosophical, but I heard in New York we are all very quick thinkers, so I think you can follow. Every human being is a psychical, physical synthesis intended to be spirit. He gets now very clear. This is the building. But he prefers to live in the basement, that is, in the sensate categories. Moreover, he not only prefers to live in the basement, no! He loves it so much that he is indignant if anyone suggests he move to the superb upper floor that stands vacant and at his disposal. For he is, after all, living in his own house. So Kierkegaard suggests that we all have a physical body and a psychological body, means a mental body, but we also have a spiritual existence. And he compares this with a house which has a basement and other stores and a beautiful high story, like I'm living in the skyscraper, my friends are the clouds, and I'm looking down at New York and feel blissful and relieved to be out of New York and in the sky. So it's much nicer than to live in the basement of that building, where my neighbors would be maybe rats and I don't want to be so graphic, and other things, ghosts maybe. We all have, according to Kierkegaard, this beautiful apartment, this inner space waiting for us, ready to comfort us, ready to give us all what we need, but most of us don't know how to inhabit this space and therefore feel something is lacking and some misery is available to them in their lives. So every human being needs to have this access to this sacred space. It's a hidden and private area where when you go deep inside it, you discover something wonderful. You discover the primordial sensation of love. When I speak of the primordial sensation of love, I mean something else than the things which we experience in this world. Sensual love, or aesthetic love, or I love this picture, or I love this music, or love to nature, love to our family and children, and so on. With the primordial love, I refer to the wellspring of that love, which is totally spiritual and totally overwhelming and ecstatic feeling of love, which can be had in relationship to God. I want to relate to you something where I once was a little able to glimpse into this. It was in the town of Jagannath Puri. I had been the guest to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. We were on pilgrimage to witness, I would say, one of the greatest spiritual festivals of mankind. It's the Jagannath Puri Ratha Yatra. Ananta Govinda Prabhu was also there. I remember you very keenly. Gauravani, were you also there and sweating in the crowd? It was quite hot. My dear devotees, it was so hot that people fainted and had to be carried on stretchers away from the place. It was in the midst of summer, and we had heard that the temple would open its doors at between 7 and 8 o'clock, but at 12 o'clock nothing had happened. That's the understanding of Indian flexible time. People were just they were standing in the hot sun before the temple gates to wait until Lord Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, would come out of the temple. I remember in utter desperation I asked the police, when is he coming? And they said, when he wants. That's an example of Indian organization. So I felt like a total unbeliever, you know, that I had asked such a question. But then I was really miserable for many reasons. One of the reasons was, I had drunken a lot of water in the morning and I needed to have a private place, you know, to subtract that from the body. And I didn't want to go when Jagannath would come out, you know. So I was for one. It was intense, and then the heat. So then I remembered, all of a sudden, again, that what I had experienced in the Himalayas. There was a sweet fragrance first of all. Then I came inside. I forgot about the heat for a moment. I went into that inner space within the heart. I was totally at ease, and I prayed, it would be nice if you would come, but I don't deserve your darshan. But please become visible to my eyes. The next thing I noticed, gongs were banging. Gong, 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 gong. The door flew open, and there the Lord of the universe came out of the temple door. It is really something, when you go into this space, it seems you are connected with another reality, a spiritual reality. And the beautiful thing is, I want to say it, we all have this apartment. It is constitutionally given to us, this sacred space in our heart. Many traditions have spoken about it. I will not be able to tell you, to go with you through the different traditions, but I want to tell you what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in Rupa Chintamani. He says, deep within the space of your heart exists a golden land surrounded on three sides by the holy river Jamuna. And it goes into a long, elaborated description how in this small space the whole spiritual world fits in. So, my question is to all of you, first of all, do I make sense to you? Can you understand what I want to talk about? Good. Then I have a second question. Do you have any idea how you could access this room? Any road description, any path description which could bring you there? I'm asking you, please don't look at me as he has his answer, otherwise he wouldn't give a lecture today, so I better don't tell anything. Yes, Prabhuji? Heartfelt prayer. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a way to enter the room? Yes, heartfelt prayer. That seems to be a very good Also, thank you. Chanting the holy name. Is that your experience, that you chant sometimes? Not yet, but you feel that would be a good road to. I want to feel, but I don't yet feel. Good. But your answer is very, very, very good. I'm surprised by your deep answer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, Mataji says she guesses when we feel some distress in our heart, then we have a very urgent desire to go there, and we have nothing else to hang on or to lean on, and then somehow this opens the space to us. That is a little bit for you, your experience. Mm-hmm. Good. I'm collecting opinions. Gauravani Prabhu. Oh yeah, when we have a mood of surrender, that seems to be a road which leads us inside. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good answer. Yes, you have very nice answers, all of you. Very. Yes, Hare Krishna. Oh, wonderful! Wonderful. The door opens. Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. So, Hari Prasad says that he guesses this door to this sacred space can be opened up by someone who is already in there. And I think we all have this experience. Sometimes we have super good association, and in that association, the door opens, and we have access to a sacred area. And then he says, later we can find that door again by blessings which we might have accumulated. Yes. Ranga Devi. Ranga Devi says, I think it's very important to go into solitude sometimes and a natural setting. Yes. In Germany we say, if you want to experience God, go into the temple of nature. This is a German proverb. Mm-hmm. Yes, Gauravani Prabhu. Gauravani speaks of special grace which we may get when we serve others who then pray on our behalf, and then we feel some blessing coming our way, and all of a sudden the door opens. Ananta Govinda Prabhu. Sincere endeavor. Ananda Govinda says, by our endeavor we prepare something, propitiate But then it is up to God to open this door, you know. We have a mathematic professor amongst us who might calculate how this door can open. Dao, do you have any mathematical calculation? He says, my door never opens. We will have one last devotee. Yes, please, one last. The environment is very important. Inner and outer environment. Yes, and my dear devotees and my dear friends and dear skeptics, there was once a man who was all his life in a room. This room was wonderful. There was hygienic facilities. Every day, three meals showed up in his room. In his rooms was a couch, there was a TV set, and everything else he could ever desire. Fresh air, only one thing, no freedom. He tried very often to open the only door which was there, but he never, ever was successful. Finally, at the fake end of his life, he did one last prayer. He said, my dear God, everyone is free except for me. He went to that door which had remained closed for his whole life. He pressed down the handle and opened the door. Then he found out his mistake. That door was opening to the inside. He had, for all his life, tried to open it to the outside. And with this discovery, this is a story which doesn't have a happy end, he died on the threshold. My dear friends, my dear devotees, let us not be like this man who tries to find the door, but by going outside. You will have to, and all your contributions to this evening were in this vein, learn to go inside. You have to learn to yearn for a direction in your inside life, which really has to do with a relationship to Krishna. The road which brings you inside and helps you to find that door is only open to those who aspire for a relationship with Krishna. And here it comes. For a moment, they aspire for a relationship to the... how to express it in English? In a way that they fix totally on that. They say, I really at the moment need to think about this relationship and not about other things. And when you begin to take that exclusive shelter, you find somehow the road which goes inside and which brings you to that door. That door to the room in which the Lord resides and in which you reside. If you can go deep enough in your relationship with Krishna, or, you know, if you prefer God, to say God, that is the same. If you go deep enough into this direction, you will find that way, that road, less traveled, and go into that space which only few know to inhabit in our modern times. Our modern life tries to point us in another direction, the roads which go outside. You remember we spoke of the town of nine gates, and nowadays there's so much going on, it I live now near to Times New Square or whatever, Times New York Square or whatever it's called, and there is so much music and so much light and so much whoo and wha going on. And many people on the street, they go like moths which fly into the fire to this Times New York Square. They go like, because modern life is like this. You leave the town of your body, you leave the house of your heart, and you leave the sacred space inside, and you just go and lose yourself in the outside world. Also in spiritual life, that can happen, that you do so many things from morning till evening, get so many emails, answer. Every second telephone comes in, ring, yes, what is, honey? I'm learning American language. And all the time you are out of the house of your body, your heart, and out of that sacred space. I personally want to recommend to you one exercise which I do every morning. I get up, I think I spoke about this already 2 years ago, because I'm doing it for a long time. And I first of all affirm to myself, say to myself, I'm an eternal soul. I live within the house of my heart. And then I say, the second thing is I say, and with me lives my Lord. Then I'm in that sacred space. And then I make an intention. Today I want to do my best to serve you and to serve others and to stay in the sacred space. And now, since I do this for quite some time, this sincere desire stays in me. And many things, just on the basis of this desire, become true, because I myself feel myself quite unable to do anything of significance in this world. It happens by Krishna's arrangement. So that, first of all, this connection every day. I'm really an eternal soul. I'm not just this town in which I'm living, the town of my body with so many town halls. The town hall is maybe the liver, and there is, what else is there? The entertainment place is the stomach, where so much pizza comes in, and and so on. I'm not that. I'm here in the house, in that precious house which has this precious room. And then I pronounce my real spiritual desires in relationship to Krishna. Every morning I say, I'm a soul in this world, praying to you to please lift me up from the world of birth and death, and please do give me the favor of rendering some service to you today. And then I see, from this simple connection with the inner space, so many wonders and miracles happen, and all my desires and dreams are becoming fulfilled. I myself totally so surprised, and I don't need any self-help literature and expensive therapists. No need. Absolutely no need. Because once you discover that sacred space, and in that sacred space form a spiritual desire, everything is possible. There are many roads in which you can, through which you can access that sacred space. I think one road we have all made experience of, that is when we come together and sing together and really, let me say, relax into the kirtan, let go of everything else and just sing and just see how all of a sudden our inner voice develops, not just the vocal voice, but the voice of longing. Kirtan is a great access road which helps us to to develop, to access that inner space. Kirtan is maybe the most valuable and most functional road in this age of Kali, because when you do kirtan and you enter, you cross a certain threshold, you seem to lose your outer being, your external being, the thing which always communicates with the world and always runs out to make different trades and businesses in the world. You lose that and you find your true self. Kirtan is a way to lose your false self and find your real self. It is the way to lose your false and unreal voice and find your real voice, where you can again address Krishna very powerfully. I also want to recommend to you another access road which many of our members have found extremely valuable and which we would like to recommend to the world. There are certain sacred scriptures which are very, very powerful, not only in their content, but in their, they have a power inside of them. These words which you find in there, them are not just informing you, but they're doing something with you. These powerful scriptural teachings have a power to, it is called a performative power. I want to give you an example. When a priest says to two people, "I pronounce you husband and wife," then jung, all of a sudden they are married. And they say, "Oh, we can't believe it, we are married now." Yes, that is the performative power which is in word. Or when a general says, "Attack!" then all of a sudden 500, it depends how many people he has who follow him, let us say 2,000 people just start to take out their lances and run, and their, I mean nowadays guns, and they run towards the enemy. The word has power. Wars happen because of the performative power of words. So the scriptures have also a performative power. The words which you find in them can change your consciousness and lift them from one level to the next, and all of a sudden you are in a sacred space. So this is these are just two recommendations I would like to give you. Doing kirtan or japa, chanting, reading in the scriptures, with that understanding to capture the performative power of the words, and then going deeper. But if you want to really understand how to access the sacred space, I would recommend you to read a book. It's called Taste the Nectar. No, The Nectar of Devotion. The Nectar of Devotion. And there you will find a detailed description of five powerful processes which, even if you have only a slight contact with them, can develop devotional ecstasies in your heart. And they are chanting the holy name, and then reading in the scriptures, and then having good associations, very important on that path. And two other things. One of the things I want to share with you this evening is visiting a holy place, a sacred space, which when you visit the sacred space of a holy place, what becomes outside becomes inside. When you are in a holy spot, you will see how all of a sudden that sacred space all around you impregnates you in a way that it opens your inner sacred space. My dear devotees and my dear friends, I think in New York it's a matter of survival to discover your sacred space. If you don't do this, if you are lazy or superficial in your life, you forgive me my English, I know it sounds sometimes aggressive, but in my German mind I talk very mellow. Hare Krishna. But when I hear it in English, it sounds really like, my God, A beautiful German word like oberflächlich sounds in English superficial, you know. So I should talk in German to you. No, but what I mean to say is, what I have discovered is, hearing a lot of philosophy is not always helpful if you don't take responsibility for what you have heard, in the sense of that you don't act upon it and make it your own. So I would request all of you, when you leave this temple room, I would request all of you to take one question with me, which I will ask you home with you. How do I access the sacred space today? No? And you should always ask this question to yourself at each day. How do I access my sacred space today? And I think if you every day are mindful about this, you will discover roads which work for you. Because, see, philosophy, there's something with philosophy. It is abstract. It is, it's in the realm of words. But this experience of sacred space is not an abstract concept. It is as personal as you can imagine. And as a lecturer, I find myself sometimes in an awkward situation. I really would like that you experience the things, but I know you can only experience it if you apply the knowledge and find out exactly how to do it. I can tell you, breathe in and out, but you have to do it, otherwise you suffocate. I can say it's good to eat sometimes, but you have to eat. No one can eat or breathe for you. It's entirely up to you to do this in order to make the experience. So this point with the sacred space is something which is very, very, where you really need to see how it works. For some of us, it starts really with breathing, so that we calm down. We breathe in and we breathe out from the belly area, you know, and then each time we breathe out, we bring all our problems which are so high and moving us here, we bring that down. We become a little peaceful, and then already good conditions are made for some of us, so that we can go deeper into the sacred space. For others of us, it is that in the morning when we wake up, we take a spiritual scripture and read it and feel all of a sudden how our sacred space widens and becomes bigger. For others, it is enchanting. So please, these are general guidelines, but please sit down tomorrow and you can just start with this question: how do I access my spiritual space today? And you will see, you will find answers, because the door will open a little bit And Krishna, who's inside that sacred space, will whisper something to you. Try this. Or all of a sudden, when you just start to ask this question, how can I find the sacred space today? You will find signposts in your life which will direct you in the required area. It really starts with the intense desire to go there. And I wish you all the best. And next time when I come back, I will look at all of you with a joyful face and hopefully see that all of you have found the sacred space and the gold which lies within. Good. This is what I wanted to share with you. Thank you very much, and Hari Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Thank you for your encouragement. And next time when I come, I will have learned better English so that I don't talk such bad words like superficial and so on. Good. So.